You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome to the Inside the War Room podcast presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Dante Colonelli, and I'm once again joined by my co-host, Saray Poole. On today's show, we are going to give you a recap of week one of the NFL. We're going to hit on some of the big topics from the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games as we are recording this right before Sunday Night Football kicks off. And just a reminder, this is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed for you ad-free, and all we ask in return is that you leave us a 5-star rating and check out our written content at SA.com/NFL/draft. So Ray, it has been a minute since I've talked to you, my guy. How are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm great. The Chargers are 1-0. Justin Herbert held it down. Defense held it down. And I'm a happy camper. I made a little money doing some sports betting today. So we're good.
Hey. All right. Yeah. We're cooking, baby. Both of our teams 1-0 today. The Dolphins also clapped McCorkle 17-16 and what was a incredibly frustrating, debilitating rock fight up north. But we're actually not going to talk about our own teams. Well, we might, but they're not in the show plans. We got to start with the big game from the 4 and 1 o'clock slate. The 4 o'clock slate had a big one. Cleveland going up to Kansas City to play Patty Mahomes and those Chiefs, rematch of the AFC Championship game. Chiefs come out with that 33-29 victory. They came from behind. They were down by like two scores for most of the game. Mahomes'd. And just made stupid throws to Tyreek Hill down the field. The Browns browned. They dropped a punt at their own 15 and allowed the Chiefs to score the go-ahead touchdown, which, you know, suboptimal. Saray, what are some takeaways from this game for you, man?
Cleveland choked it away. That game was in the bag from almost start to finish, man. And once, like, you never can discount momentum. Once, you know, KC got some stops, stadium starts rocking, Mahomes is making crazy plays. They go down and give up the huge 75-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill, and it just seemed like Cleveland was just never going to recover. I thought Baker looked good today. I mean, other than the, you know, he tried to throw the ball away on that last play, just got hit, and really couldn't get it out of bounds. But, like, man, they were very balanced, man. The run game, you know, Chubb had some good carries. Chubb had a good game. I don't know, man. I think the secondary played good, but, like, they just gave up just – some big plays when it mattered the most, and it when it really hurt, man, like the big bombs. And they've got to switch some stuff up. I'm like, you can't stop Kelce and Hill, but you got to let one person beat them. But they both can't beat you, man. You kind of got to take a page out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playbook from the Super Bowl and kind of see how they won that game last year. But I don't know, man. I think Cleveland gave away. I really don't think Kansas City took it. I really think, you know, the Browns just fumbled the bag on this one.
Yeah, I mean, the punter literally fumbled the ball at his own 15,
man. Yeah, that was
bad.
That was disgusting. Oh,
that's got to be the most Cleveland Browns way to lose ever. On the flip side of that, though, I thought the Browns played well. Now, obviously, I was watching the Dolphins game, so I was kind of flipping back and forth between the two games. But what I caught, like, Baker was really good. They were without Odell Beckham Jr. today. The defense played well for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, they held the Chiefs to – it was like, what, 10, 14 points in the first half, right?
It was like 10? It was 10.
So, like, defense played pretty good. So my takeaway from this is obviously, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is nuts. Get this dude all the way up out of here. Unfair. It needs to be nerfed. We need a life update, man. This guy is too good. On the flip side, like, I know, like you said, the Browns obviously fumbled the bag, probably should have won this football game. I still think they're very good. Like, I think this is a team that's going to win 11 to 12 games. I think they'll compete for the NFC North. Good AFC. Football team. AFC, yeah, you're right. They freaking kill the NFC North. We got to talk about that one NFC North team in a second. We didn't plan to talk about them, but we should. I think the Browns are really solid. I think they're going to compete for that AFC North title, man. I really do. I think that they're still very good. I thought Baker was good today. Kicking it back to the 1 o'clock games. Let's talk about some rookie quarterbacks. Two guys made their debut, the number one and number two overall picks. You want to start with Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, man? What did you see from the number one overall pick?
I saw a kid out there trying to make play a little hero ball. You can see the flashes, man. You know, his movements in the pocket, the ability to throw the deep ball. He had three touchdowns today, but also three bad interceptions, right? Just a young quarterback trying to make a play. You know, his team's down by a lot, trying to get it all back in one play. And he'll just learn with the experience. It's just, you know, you can't play football like that at the NFL level. But, like, you can see the flashes there, man. I think Jacksonville is just an overall just a bad team, right? The offensive line did not look great today. The running game's got to get going. If you can't run the football against the Houston Texans, you're not running the ball on anybody all year long. So, like, that worries me a little bit that you couldn't get some sort of solid run game with James Robinson, who was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. It's not a hot take. I know this is week one, but, like, Urban Meyer doesn't make it through two seasons here.
I don't think
wow. He's –
That's a little hot.
It's a little hot. But, I think, man, by next year, I'll give him 2 to 3 years. But there's no way he's making it through the entire duration of this contract. I don't see that happening. I don't. That's just my honest opinion. But back to Trevor Lawrence. Saw some flashes, saw some bad, you know, some bad interceptions, but you can see the talent there. I know people are so excited to call him a bust, you know, but, like, dude, just give him some time, dude. It's literally a 17-game season, so he'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I think that the takeaway from this is that Jacksonville's bad. You know what I mean?
It's a bad, like, football team. Yeah, they're not good.
Yeah, dude, they're not good, man. That game was brutal. I tried to catch a lot of that game in the early window since the Dolphins weren't playing. I mean, they just – I want to say this too. Like, I'm happy for Tyrod Taylor. My man has been given the shaft for like 7 years.
It's been a while, man. Luckily for him, he went out there and balled today, man. Good for him.
Yeah, he played pretty well. But yeah, we got to have a conversation about Jacksonville, man. They're just not good. And again, like, I don't think anyone expected them to be good.
No.
But, like, you look at the final score of this football game. It's what, 37-21 Houston beats Jacksonville. It wasn't even that close. Now, I think this wasn't it like 37-7 or 37.
That last touchdown was a garbage touchdown,
right? Like, this game was not as close as even the score says, and the score is not close. So, Jacksonville's got to have a lot of hard conversations. I mean, Houston took them to task, and that is not a good football team on the other side of the ball. As for Trevor Lawrence specifically, look. Kid looked like a rookie quarterback. I don't know what really, like, what analysis that I can add outside of that. You know, the arm was there, the legs is there. He made a couple mistakes. He tried to force the ball into some tight windows. I didn't think he got a lot of help from his offensive line. Didn't think he got a ton of help from the receivers at times. But, you know, he made some rookie mistakes. That's going to happen. I thought he was fine. I really did. I thought he was okay. I think that he made some good plays. He made some good throws. The one TD to DJ Chark was really nice. He fit that into a nice tight window off of play action from like the 40, 45-ish yard line. That was a good play. I thought Lawrence was fine. This is going to be a process in Jacksonville. And I think, you know, when we were on the show, when Urban got hired, I think both of us were like, why? You know, like, I think that was our general reaction was like, I mean, okay, sure. But, like, why, you know? And I still feel the same way. Like, why Urban Meyer's the dude? Really? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
But I saw somebody, I think it was Stephen Ruiz of The Ringer, was like, man, Urban's going to fake his death at halftime.
No, but seriously, that would be on par for something for Urban to do. Things get tough, and he just is going to just do it a lot of the way. According to Skip Bayless, this was tweeted out about 12 minutes ago.
No good tweet ever starts with Skip Bayless.
No, man. Never. But, you know, he tweets here, Jags could have used Tebow today.
For what?
I'm not sure. I have no idea, but please get off of social media, dude. Like, it's – Jesus.
Man. He makes millions of dollars, man.
To say nonsense. That's
real American money.
Yes, that's what sports have come down to. We're going to pay you just to say nonsense to get clickbait. That's all this is.
Brutal.
That's all it is.
Speaking of brutal, rough first half for the other rookie quarterback that we're going to talk about, Zach Wilson, New York Jets. He played significantly better in the second half.
Yes.
Although that was not a high bar to clear. That first half was pretty brutal all around for the Jets. Offensive line wasn't good. Receivers weren't good either. What'd you see from Zach Wilson, man?
Man, I saw a dude who's holding on the ball too long. Solid dude who's still not comfortable operating within the pocket when he doesn't need to leave the pocket sometimes. Solid dude, just like Trevor, trying to play hero ball a little bit. But you also saw somebody who, when everything's clean around him, when the pocket's clean, he can make some good throws. You've seen the arm talent. He was able to, you know, get out of structure and throw the touchdown to Corey Davis, which they had a nice little connection. They had some few big plays they connected on today. So that'd be cool. It's good for Corey Davis, you know, become a wide receiver one. We'll see how that trend continues on to the year. But I just saw a rookie quarterback, man. Prayers out to Mekhi Becton. I don't know if it was a sprained MCL or what that was. And, you know, but that's your big left tackle. And if you want Zach Wilson to succeed at anything, he's got to have his blind side protected. So that'd be interesting to see how they, you know, replace him. But back to Zach Wilson, the team's just not good right now. There's not a lot of talent around him. Offensive line is suspect. Run game is non-existent. You got weapons on the outside, man, but, like, it's just the team, man. It's just going to take some time. He had some bad interceptions as well, just not seeing underneath defenders, man. And that's going to come with just repetition, watching film and getting better. But I'm still sticking to my take I had when he first got drafted. There is no in-between with him. He's going to be really good or he's going to be really bad, right? I don't think he's going to be in-between. So – extremely early, but you saw some flashes. But you also, like you said with Trevor, we just saw a rookie quarterback, somebody who's learning, somebody, like we said, I think either one of us had high expectations for this football team. Probably have a top five, top six pick again. I'm not surprised if they would. But it's something to build on, man. It's you can go back and, you know, watch the good stuff. You can watch the bad throws. But just he's got to get more comfortable playing. But for his first NFL game, man, I was happy to see some flashes. But you do got to get some of the negative stuff cleaned up, the turnovers and just, you know, not having good eyes, not scanning the field, going through your reach properly, you know, just putting the ball in places that it shouldn't be. But, again, that's stuff you can really, you know, learn from on film, you know. So, hopefully he can improve. But, like you said, the first half was not great.
No, it really wasn't. For me, it just looked like a quarterback who was – had a lot of nerves, just, like, wasn't settled down, wasn't really focused. I thought his best throw of the first half was that like bomb that he threw to Elijah Moore, who had tried to make it a diving catch. And he just couldn't come up with it. I don't want to tag Moore with a drop there because that feels harsh, but I also feel like he probably should have caught it. I mean, he was like the 34th overall pick. Like, I don't know, tough play. You know, if that goes Wilson's way, maybe the first half looks a little bit different. But I agree with you. You know, this is a player who's going to have to work out the kinks. Offensive line wasn't doing him any favors either. He wasn't doing himself any favors in the first half as well. He got a lot of happy feet in the pocket. I will say, though, it was really, really nice to see him come out in about the middle of the third quarter, I want to say. Like, he really just looked settled in. He looked significantly better. I always like to see that from young quarterbacks, right? Like, how do you respond to a bad half of football? You know, how do you respond when the things around you are failing? I thought Wilson responded fairly well. Obviously, his numbers don't look too great at the end of the day, but trust me, they could look a lot worse. His passer rating in the first half was like 5.
It was disgusting.
Yeah, it was like really bad. So, and the INT that he did throw in this football game, like you said earlier, was not good. So I thought he responded fairly well, given the way that he started. And I think that's something to build on if you're the Jets. Now, like you said, right, offensive line, a lot of question marks. Obviously, with Mekhi Becton out, that's a big question mark, right? Like, he's definitely your best offensive lineman. You know, Elijah Vera Tucker helps, but, you know, you're going to have to plug Morgan Moses in, George Fant, the other tackle. I don't know how great you feel about that. I mean, obviously, it's better having Morgan Moses than some random-ass backup, but, you know, still not great. At wide receiver, Corey Davis looks like he's all right. Elijah Moore, a little bit disappointing in his debut. We'll see what he brings later in the season. But I'm not even close to in panic mode with Zach Wilson. Thought he responded really, really well. The last rookie quarterback we want to get to, Mac Jones, the only other guy who has started today. Trey Lance did play, threw a touchdown pass on his first,
throw.
Man. 49ers ended up going with Garoppolo. They should have routed the Lions, but they had a mini collapse there in the second half.
Yeah,
but
it was a close one.
What'd you see from Mac Jones, man?
Oh, man, he looked good. The quarterback played good. He didn't do nothing to, like, really wow you, but, like, he also, you know, didn't put the team in harm's way either. Like, I know you only have 16 points, right? And you're coming out with 29 of 39 for 281 yards and a touchdown. QB rating of 102.6, man, you know, 7.2 yards per attempt, right? So he had a good game, man. Damien Harris is really the one who caught my eye today. But in terms of Mac, man, I think you can see why Cam Newton got beat out. You've seen a guy that the team rallied around. He seemed very poised. Even when he threw his first touchdown, he didn't even want the football. You know what I mean? He's like, you know, I come from Alabama, man. This football doesn't mean anything to me. I just want to win. You know what I mean? So, like, we can all agree that we are – before – okay, when the season – when the process first started, I was a huge Mac Jones believer. As the season went on, I'm like, no, this kid's just not it, right? I had to just bite the bullet, take my L on that one. But he looked good, man. I think for Mac, he can be a guy who can – what is he, a Kirk Cousins? Is he a Jimmy Garoppolo? He's along that nature. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy who will give you the star power that you see from other young quarterbacks that you're hoping to see from the Zach Wilsons and the Trey Lance and the Trevor Lawrences, and the other star quarterbacks. But like, I just don't think that this is a team I want to lean on Mac Jones for, which is why you've seen Damien Harris have 23 carries today. So I mean, like, and that's against a good Dolphins defense, might I add. So. I don't know, man. I thought he was solid, dude. And nothing, again, it was nothing crazy. You didn't see any crazy, crazy throws. You saw a guy who was, again, poised, was able to move around in the pocket a little bit, you know, and he showed some accuracy, man. He showed some accuracy. There's a few times we put some balls in tight windows. Listen, it's just the turnover hurt, man. Like, that's really how they lost the game, right? It's Xavier Howard making a play, dude. He's a star, dude. I mean, I'm happy that they got that figured out, dude, because he fits on that team, man. But I don't know. I mean, like you said, it's Mac Jones. That he was just, you know, a solid day. Nothing bad, but nothing great.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't want to turn this into a Dolphins podcast or anything, but like, man, there were real people who didn't want to restructure Xavier Howard's contract for 1 year. Man, real people were like, no, his knees are bad. I don't want him for another year. Like, get all the way the up out of here, dude. I'm so good to see him make a game-saving play. For Mac Jones, man. I mean, this is exactly what he was at Alabama. This was Mac Jones at Alabama to a T, and it's a perfect fit for what the New England Patriots do on offense, at least in the Tom Brady model.
I am so sorry to cut you off, but we have some breaking news on the podcast here.
Oh, okay. Fire away. Let's hear it.
Saints cornerback Marshon Lattimore has agreed to a 5-year, $97.6 million contract extension that could be up to worth $100 million with a $68.3 million guaranteed per sources. It also includes the largest full guarantee at signing for any cornerback in NFL history. Holy overpay.
Overpay?
He's good. Top 10. But like, yo, that's insane amount of money, dude. That's a lot.
Who's the highest paid corner
Ramsey
besides him right now?
It was Ramsey, and then after that, it probably was Marlon Humphrey, probably was second, would be my guess. And then you probably start getting into the Gilmores and the probably not Xavier before his deal got restructured. But let me walk that back. Not overpay. He's a top 10 corner. He's elite. But
so how much was his yearly average?
Oh, I don't even know. I didn't even say on the tweet, man. So, yeah, so you had Jalen making 20 a year at number one. Marlon
Humphrey's 19.5. Trey White,
17.
Darius Slay. Slay's fourth? My God.
Yeah, dude, that's an overpay. The Eagles, you know, trade for him thinking they were going to get elite play again. Like, dude, he's not the same guy anymore. Still good, but, like, not, you know, prime Darius Slay. But, yeah, I can't wait to see how.
What was the number?
5 years, $97.6 million extension. He's got $68.3 million guaranteed.
All right. Well, 97 divided by 5 is 19.4. So that still puts him under Jalen Ramsey.
So he's the second highest paid in the league. Or I think that should be third because Marlon Humphrey's
at 19.4. Yeah, he's third. He's behind Humphrey by. So still an overpay?
Still not an overpay. Actually, when you look at it, it's not an overpay at all. So no, he got $44 million fully guaranteed and a $68.3 million in total guarantee. So I mean, it's not an overpay at all. Actually, I actually like the way that was structured. Actually, I take that back.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
It's not too bad. But yeah, back to your thoughts on your favorite quarterback, Mac Jones.
I completely lost my train of thought. Jones, he was fine. Advertised at Alabama. The Patriots. See, here's the thing about the Dolphins' defense, right? You have to understand. Secondary is very good, right?
Yes.
Rest of the defense, suboptimal, right? So the Patriots came out and they were like, "We're just not going to throw at the cornerbacks at all." They were like, we're going to throw to the running backs and the tight ends all day. And that's exactly what they did. And it worked to a certain extent. I think here's the thing with Jones, right? Is like Jones can execute offense. Jones can move the ball down the field. Those were never question marks for me. My big thing was like, is Mac Jones going to win you football games? Right? Like when I was watching him at Alabama, I saw a guy who was incredibly limited.
Yes.
And like, he did not play bad today. Mac Jones was good. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm crapping on Mac Jones because I'm like a known Mac Jones hater. Thought he was good today. Took a lot of tough hits in the pocket, delivered good, accurate passes, made a couple of really nice throws against the blitz. He played fine. Team scored 16 points. And like, they were not explosive at all. They had like two explosive plays through the air. They had a couple explosive runs. And like, I get that that was the game plan, but like, Mac is a deke and dunk quarterback. He is. And like, I don't want to sit here like and say like, you know, Mac played bad. He didn't. Mac was good. I just like, does he win you football games? I don't know. This was a very winnable football game. You know, I know that the Dolphins defense is good and I know that they fumbled twice, but like, Dolphins offense didn't play that well. The defense really struggled to stop Damian Harris at times in this game. Like, I mean, honestly, if Xavier Howard doesn't punch the ball out of the game, I'm pretty sure the Dolphins lose 20-19. Like, I think that's what it ends up being. I don't think that offense is going to march down the field, frankly. 20-17. Like, I mean, I don't know. This is a winnable football game. Mac, he was good, but like, is he good enough? I don't know. We'll see. It's only week one. I don't want to put the sword in him just yet, but I mean, he was fine and they only scored 16 points. Like that's where it's at for me. Speaking of the Saints, we should probably talk about that shellacking that the Packers took.
Ooh, that
man,
that was brutal, man. That was bad on all everybody's behalf, from the staff on down to the players, from just everything. Rodgers looked like he's never played football before. And people are going to have a lot of fun with this from the offseason that Aaron Rodgers had, right? We're going to hear about this until, you know, week two. But that was the worst loss since Aaron Rodgers has been a Packers quarterback. I mean, they lost by like 30-plus. That was bad.
38-3, man.
Yeah. Jameis Winston is back, 5 touchdowns. You know, there were some turnover-worthy throws, if I will throw that out there. But – it was 5 touchdowns, right? He did something that Drew Brees was not able to do, you know, in the latter part of his career in New Orleans, which was push the ball down the field consistently. And that's what makes this New Orleans team so dynamic. Alvin Kamara looked good, but just from the Packers, man, that was just a bad football team. Dude. Like, that just was like a team who just didn't want to be out there. Like, I don't know what that was, man. Yeah, Rodgers throwing throws that you just don't see, man. Literally just wasn't great performance, but there's really not much to say when you literally only have 3 points of offense and you have, in my opinion, a second-best quarterback in the league, you know, leading your offense. But it's literally just one of those things where you don't even have to watch the film from, dude. You just bounce back from it. You move on to your next opponent. And just give credit to the Saints, man. They played hell of a good defense, right? Offense looked great. And I'm not going to be Mr. Panic Button after week one, but that was just bad to watch. That was really hard, man. Like, I didn't even bother. You know, it was on TV for a while, and it got to a point where I was like, yeah, I'm going back to Red Zone. I can't sit here and watch this team get bullied for 4 straight quarters like this. So they'll be back, dude. It's Aaron Rodgers, just the Packers. I still think they get to the NFC Championship game. Like, it's
what it is. Oh, okay. Interesting take. Yeah, man. You know what's crazy about this game, though? Jameis Winston's stat line.
Right? Oh, it was weird. It was extremely weird.
14 of 20, 148, 7.4 yards per throw, 5 touchdowns. Yes. Dude threw for under 150 yards and 5 touchdowns?
5 touchdowns, man. Yeah. Short fields, baby.
Yeah. Passer rating 130.8. Passer rating's a bad stat, but still crazy stat line for Winston, man. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I didn't catch a ton of this game. Frankly, I was watching the Dolphins game, and I was a little bit more focused on some of the other 4 o'clocks because this was a blowout from the start. I mean, just what I did see of the Packers, saw like 3-4 drives. Just looked like a football team that hadn't practiced together. Looked like a football team that was, you know, just not on the same page, discombobulated, trying to force things. Timing looked wrong. So it might take them a couple of weeks to get this thing right. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm not going to panic just yet. I will say this, though. the Packers defense, they change defensive coordinators. They get some different personnel in there and they have the same problems. Like they are still like incredibly light in the box. And like,
yes,
I get it. It's the modern NFL, you know, teams are throwing the football on you, but like, man, you gotta adjust at some point. I mean, the blueprint, yes, to beat the Packers defense has been out there since the 49ers ran the ball like, you know, 85 times in the NFC Championship.
Jimmy and G beat had them like 7 passes or something that game.
I don't
right?
think it was 11. I think it was like 5. Yeah. Like, like the blueprint has been out on how to beat this Packers defense. We're going on year 3 now, and like they have not adjusted. So like, I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that Aaron Rodgers is good today or that. I mean, anyone on the offense was good today. They scored 3 points. Jordan Love was in for mop-up time. But, I mean, the defense, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. You change coordinators, you add different personnel, and you're running the same scheme. Why? Why change coordinators? Like, I don't understand. All right. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
I do want to say something.
Let's hear it.
Chandler Jones straight bullied Taylor Lewan for 4 straight quarters. He's on pace for 85 sacks right now. It's clearly not going to happen, but it was fun to watch. I just want to take a victory lap real quick because I had Kyler QB1. The Titans defense is bad, but like I think we're seeing a quarterback who's taking the next step as a leader, the next step as a passer. And I think if Kyler can continuously be this good, this team can be really, really competitive. The division is tough, but I'm seeing Cliff Kingsbury grow up in front of our eyes. Again, I know it was the Tennessee Titans defense, but like for the first time watching Cliff coach an NFL game, he didn't seem shell-shocked. He didn't seem like the moment was too big for him. He didn't seem like he didn't know how to use his timeouts or manage the game. He looks like he's understanding how to be NFL head coach, man. If the Cardinals play defense like that, watch out. Like, because that was the biggest issue last year, is the defense was not great. You hold Derrick Henry to, what was it, like 20 rushing yards or something like that? I don't know the steps up to the top of my head. It was not much, man. And it was crazy because I almost put some money on his odds. I'm thinking, you know, Cardinals run defense, you know, get some rushing attempts in here. Derrick Henry ran for
58 yards, 17 carries.
That's 3 yards a pop. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And this is why I keep telling people, this is why Ryan Tannehill is not a top 10 quarterback. Because when it gets ugly and the run game is out, I can't depend on you to go lead our team down the field when you have to throw the ball 30, 40 times a game. That bothers me. Right. I know other quarterbacks in the league can do that, and I'm just not there with Ryan. And I love him. He's like, you know, 11 for me, but like, he's just not top 10. So right. I'll leave it on that note.
Fair enough. I think the Cardinals have the talent, right? Like, I don't think the talent was ever the question. I mean, even last year, they probably should have been a playoff team, right? I mean, they got off to a really good start
late last year.
And they collapsed. I mean, I still hit the over on their win total for the year, so I'm not complaining. But, they probably should have been a playoff team last year and they just collapsed. So, I mean, for me, it's just like, can they sustain it for the whole season, obviously?
Yeah.
But, I mean, like you said, 38-13 win over Tennessee. They were underdogs in that game on the road. Titans are a good football team, or at least they're supposed to be a good football team, right? Like, you know, so it's a good win. I'm not going to sit here and say it isn't. And I did not have Kyler QB1. Obviously, that's a fat L for me, and I fully accept that. But I do really like Kyler. I think he's incredibly fun to watch. So, and I think the Cardinals in general are really fun to watch. They add guys like Rondale Moore. James Conner's kind of interesting in that offense. So we'll see. I hope the Cardinals are good because the NFC West is a ton of fun. All right. Anything else? Last call.
That's it. I'm currently searching for some blue chip merch right now. So can end on that note.
Okay. Yeah, we like that. Yeah, we can end on that note. The Dolphins are 1-0, baby. Top team in the AFC East.
Bolts up, baby. Go Chargers.
Anyway, thank you for listening to this episode of Inside the War Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We will be back with more Inside the War Room next Monday. Be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends of the Prospect Profits. They are our big-time scouting podcast. They do a really good job covering more college football topics. And we will talk to you guys next Monday. Peace.